Well, things not going well for Joni Cunningham. Remember her?
Oh, no.
Erin Moran. Yep. Remember her from...
Joni Loves Chachi.
That too. That's exactly right. Well, she was living in a trailer in Indiana with her husband, Steve Fleischman, but got kicked out by her mama-in-law. It says here for unruly behavior. Now, again...
Look, it sounds very... There could be a lot of... Relative terms. That
relative,
be...
so to speak. Yeah. I heard what you did there. Yeah, yeah. But go ahead.
Just
relative terms.
All the different
mother-in-law.
So many different behaviors that could be constituted as unruly, according to the subjective opinion of whoever was accusing.
Well, again, it's a woman living in a trailer park in Indiana. I'm not exactly sure what would be unruly behavior.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying.
National Enquirer reported the former primetime star has been living off a cash settlement that she received from CBS and now bounces from motel to motel. Well, that's not good.
That's sad.
I saw a picture of her, and she was basically...
disheveled?
Yeah, she was walking down the street smoking a cigarette.
Oh.
So, anyway, you know.
Well...
So, yeah, go ahead.
No, sorry, no, continue.
That's all. It's just,
is there like a page to help her or, you know, what's the...
Well, I don't know. Do you want to do it? Who was that guy who was on Saved by the Bell? I think he lost his house. Who was the geeky guy?
Oh, gosh.
Help me with that. I don't know.
Screech.
Screech, that's it. Yeah, Screech was apparently kicked out of his house because they had to foreclose on him. And so, yeah, I think he ended up getting some sort of a... you know, help me out thing.
He's nuts.
Well, he may be. I'm not sure. I don't know. But nonetheless, so you got that going for you. All right. So I don't know. This question just, I was talking to a guy yesterday who was telling me a story that he had a friend who was the manager of the AT&T store that is over in the same shopping center as Kohl's. Okay. That AT&T store right there. And that he had to be there last week at 7 in the morning to meet two security guards so that they could be there because the iPhone 5 was coming out.
Wow.
So we had security at the AT&T store. I mean, again, security at the AT&T store in College Station, Texas, because the new iPhones were coming out.
Doesn't surprise me at all.
Which begs the question...
of why don't we have security whenever new tennis shoes come out?
Yeah, no, no. Well, that's...
Oh, they do.
Yeah.
They do.
But, I mean, what was the last thing that you stood in line for? What was the last thing that you stood... Because, you know, I see people stand in line at restaurants in this town that I wouldn't go to anyway.
Oh.
Well, it's true. I mean, I can have that opinion, and I do.
I'm right there with you.
I'm going, you're standing in line to eat at that place? And they do, but... What? So I guess the other question is, what would you be willing to stand in line?
The bathroom.
Well, yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Well, okay. I wasn't really thinking
that's
that.
True. But,
what was the last thing I stood in line for?
Okay. Well, I guess, what was the last thing you'd be willing to stand in line?
The last thing you'd ever be willing to stand in line for, or the last thing that we were willing to...
That we actually did,
I'm
yeah.
just messing.
And I can remember, I did. I stood at a Starbucks to go to the bathroom. And it was in Manhattan, and it was interesting because, I mean, there were about, I think I counted, there were 23 people ahead of me in the
wow.
line.
Wow.
And I have to think, how did the restaurant feel about that?
I'd start looking for an alley if I were you, Scott.
Yeah. Well, no, I didn't. No, not there. Hello?
The cell phone came along because it changed the whole expectation of our daily lives.
Right, they did, sure. So do you know anybody who stood in line for a cell phone? Either of you?
Not anybody that stayed in line.
I can't imagine. Well, we had a service where I think you could pay somebody to go stand in line. What would you stand in line for today? What would be worthwhile
Bacon.
For you?
It does sound good. Or pizza. I really want Bacon some pizza.
Yep. Playboy's come out with their top party schools for 2012. Texas A&M did not make the top 10. Texas A&M did not make the top 10.
The school I went to college at was in that one
was
year,
it?
The year I was there.
Oh, no, very good. Doing your part. The top 10 party schools for 2012, according to Playboy, number 10 is The Ohio State University. Number 9 is a little surprising to me. Texas Christian University. TCU?
Really?
Come on. Yeah. I don't know. I'd like to kind of see the write-up on that.
Christian parties.
You bet. Number eight is Tulane. Of course, that's I'm guessing that that's because it's in
Louisiana.
Yeah, it's in New Orleans. Number seven, Vanderbilt. Number six, yes, go SEC. There's Georgia. Georgia's in there. Well, of course, Vanderbilt is.
I was going to say Vandy.
So you got two of them right there. University of Wisconsin, number five. They've been in there a long time.
It's because there's nothing else to do with that much snow on the ground.
Oh.
Per capita, there are more bars in Madison, Wisconsin than any other college town in America.
No kidding.
Yep, yep. Number four, University of Texas at Austin. Number three, yeah, Florida. There's another SEC school doing a fine job. Number two is University of Southern California. I find that interesting. I mean, it's in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Well, I know that I think the formula or something is based, some kind of complicated formula based off of nightlife, social life, and then other life.
Oh. Consumption.
Yeah, and then money to do it, too. Number one is UVA. UVA.
Really?
Yeah, and that's what, Charlottesville?
And SMU was a runner-up.
Was it?
Yep.
Didn't make the top 10. Well, that SMU and TCU, they were both in there?
No, SMU, it was because of, like, nightlife near campus.
Oh, well, I remember there used to be a Mrs. Baird's plant that was right across the street.
Are you thinking of Waco? That's at Baylor.
Yeah, well, that's it. Yeah, that'd be that. But
nothing says party like bread.
Yeah.
Fear of going to the dentist. It invades your life and doesn't let go. Over the years, cavities lead to pain, missing teeth, constant bad breath. Soon, not smiling becomes a way of life. Relationships, job promotions, and confidence often suffer as a result. Life slips by, and you feel you have nobody to confide in. Dr. Reese understands, and now there's help. It's called Sedation Dentistry, and it can change your life. Learn more at drreese.com.
We Texans love to show our pride. TXTraders.com, where College Station's home to the Texas Trading Post, the largest online store for Texas gifts and Texas home decor, including apparel, metal art, corporate gifts, and one-of-a-kind exclusive made-in-Texas products and Aggie gifts.
Howdy, this is Russ Harvell. Linda and I would like to thank the Brazos Valley for voting Texas Trading Post best online store and the best of the Brazos Valley. Come see us at txtraders.com.
Hey, News Talk 1620, WTAW. Going to get a little bit of rain this weekend, we hope. We'll have a look at the weather forecast in just a minute. But I do want to say this. If you are ready to make every weekend kind of like a mini vacation, the folks at RV Station can help you with that. If part of your going out and enjoying the great outdoors with your friends and your family is taking your toy along with you, whether it's a four-wheeler or motorcycle, whatever it happens to be, if you're hitting the road for fun, a brand new Puma 27 SBU toy hauler can be yours from RV Station for just $125 a month. So stop out there and have a look at that. And also, they've got a special deal on some fifth wheelers. As an example, the brand new V-Cross VCF 305 fifth wheeler priced at just $149 a month. You know what that's a great price to be able to get out on your own to go and hit the road, hitch that thing up on a Friday or a Thursday and make a long weekend of it, really get away, and you're away with your family or your friends and kind of going where you want to go and doing it the way that you want to. So before you make a buying decision, stop by RV Station. They're located at 2815 North Earl Rudder Freeway. You can shop them online, too, at rvstationonline.com, but make your choices there, whether it's toy haulers or fifth wheelers or anything else that goes along with that. rvstationonline.com and have your family vacation right there. Okay, let's see. Beer story. Yeah, we'll save that for a minute. a strange thing is going on in Japan.
Uh-oh.
It's a fashion that is taking Japan by storm.
Oh,
it's called
this is so gross.
Bagel head, right?
Yeah.
What?
Bagel head.
Now, I don't know. This had to be somebody who was sitting around with nothing else to do. The Sun reports that this new look called bagel head is created by injecting saline solution into the forehead until it swells up.
Sick.
And then they push their thumb in the center of the swollen area to make it look like a bagel. See, it kind of disperses the stuff there.
It looks like you've been hit in the forehead with a baseball.
Or some kind of alien off a TV show.
2 hours to complete the process. The effects last about 20 hours. Oh, let me give up 20 hours of my life to be able to do that.
Oh, my gosh. I bet your skin hurts afterwards.
Well, peels. No, they say it doesn't hurt. But, again, what are they going to say? Yeah, do this. It hurts like hell. Oh, well, sure. Let me line up for that.
Who decided this was a good idea?
Well, that's the other thing.
Is it supposed to be attractive to women?
That's what's so scary is why would you go do that?
Who would even come up with that idea? Was it someone who was already drunk or something?
People say the same thing about tattoos.
Yeah, it's that conversation that your mother had with you. If all your friends did it, would you do it? You know, I mean... One fashion-forward bagel head says...
I mean, what if I want to be a donut head instead?
Well, I could do that. You could slather,
lipstick or something.
A sugar solution across your head. It's a relaxing sensation. It's kind of tingly and building a pressure that feels like it's sending me to sleep. Is
so
what one person
brushing
said.
Your teeth.
Oh.
See, I'm thinking you get one on either side and you got horns. Then we're talking fun.
Yeah. Yeah, your friends will look at you. Yeah.
Gosh, this is getting just, ugh.
Okay, if you've never gotten a good look at a comet, peer at the night sky just over a year from now. Put this down somewhere. If the Mayans are wrong, and we're, and we're here a year from now, it's called Comet Isun, or Ison. It's due to be at its brightest November the 28th, 2013. It will be so luminous, they say, you should be able to see it in broad daylight.
Wow.
That'll be pretty neat. Right now, the comet observed by scientists in Russia is near Jupiter's orbit and pretty dim from Earth. But it will grow brighter until next November when it passes 1.2 million miles from the sun. And at that point, it will shine brighter than the 20th century's most impressive comet.
That's cool.
Now, my question is, I mean, is this the first time in recorded American history that we've had a comet that bright? I mean, I don't know. But if I would find it interesting that this would be the first time in 5,000 years, for instance, that it's happened.
That's a huge orbit for a comet.
It is. They say it's a parabolic orbit that suggests that its first journey through the solar system. That leads scientists to believe that the chunk of rock and ice could have broken off of the Oort cloud, of course, the Oort cloud, which is a huge collection of debris around the sun.
Which is the cousin of that tuna thing
we talked about this morning, right? Observers hope to see it shining brightly and displaying a magnificent tail as it releases powerful jets of gas and dust. Okay, now again, see, Comet Kohoutek. I don't know, Kevin, you maybe even be too young to remember this, but I took my kiddo. It was about five, so it was about 25 years ago, I guess. This deal was coming along, and we were going to get to see this comet. It was going to be so fantastic, we'd go get to see it. And so I took one of my kiddos out, and he was about five. Dad, why are we standing out here in the cold at three in the morning?
You should have just been glad you weren't making him put on a certain kind of tennis shoes and drink poison Kool-Aid.
Well, okay, you could do that too. Now, Southwood Athletic Complex.
Okay.
And we went out there because it was so dark, there were no houses around. If you can imagine out there, you were basically in the middle of the country.
So no light pollution
right.
at Southwood
right.
Valley Athletic Complex, which is now surrounded by houses.
Yeah, so we had that. They'd put a telescope up, and they locked it down so that it was right on the comet. Okay, so you didn't have to look around or anything. All you needed to do was look in there. And, of course, as we're waiting in line, we weren't the only idiots that were there. As we were waiting in line, you're looking up at the sky to hope that you can see it, and you can't. So, okay, we need this. So we get up there, and I think he looked through it first and went, yeah, okay. Think, come on, man. So I look at it, and it was almost like they had taken like a picture of a light and then kind of smudged the lens.
Like the slow processing
yeah.
film?
Exactly, just a little smudge right there. And that was the comet that I had gotten up, gotten my son dressed, driven out to the middle of the country, stood in line where it was about 35 degrees, to look up at a smudge on a lens.
Well, it was a valiant effort. You never know. It might have meant a lot to your son.
True. But now, again, what this says is observers hope to see it shining brightly and displaying a magnificent tail as it releases powerful gas jets and dust. But you know what? It might not. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It may just be a smudge on a lens when it's all said and done.
Yep.
We might be a smudge on a lens.
Well,
when it's
that's
all
also
sending.
True. All right, here we go. You know, we started earlier this morning. If you were with us, we were talking about Homeland Security had come up with like
Super Tuna.
Robot, yeah, robot tuna. We called it, let me see, it was called the OOV.
Yes. Right?
The bioswimmer.
Oh, I know what they should call it.
All right.
The tuna automaton.
Cause?
Because it's an automaton and it's a tuna,
and it's a
so
tuna.
It's the tuna automaton.
Why not? Okay, then there's also this. Oh.
This doesn't sound good.
It's not exactly a T-1000, but it is a cyborg, the melding of machine and cockroach.
Oh.
Scientists have created a lightweight circuit that can be connected to cockroaches and allow the cockroach to be steered wirelessly.
Oh, my goodness.
Electrodes attached to the cockroach's antenna can make it think there is an object in front, forcing it to turn left or right, and another electrode attached to its rear end that can make it think it's being chased,
so
causing it to move forward.
PETA when all this was happening.
Where was what?
PETA.
PETA.
PETA. Yeah, PETA. You mean the ethical treatment of
animals? Some
people
pronounce it PETA. Well,
they're
some,
wrong.
They're, yeah, yeah. They're not from around here. But nonetheless, North Carolina State University researchers say they originally thought about creating miniature robots, but found that insects were more robust since it already is an expert when it comes to maneuvering in tough conditions. And also maneuvering through tight spaces.
So you've made a zombie robotic cockroach.
Yeah, something like. Well, no, it's still alive. It's not a zombie. It's still alive. But again, what is the life expectancy of a cockroach?
We use our technology to put bagel injections in our heads and control cockroaches.
What can I tell you? Hello.
Hey, it's people for eating tasty animals.
Yes,
oh,
it is.
I like that.
People eating tasty animals.
Let's just remember what it stands for. Yeah, so that's what we're doing. Scientists say that they're working on that. So
do you torment the neighbor and get 10 or 12 of them and just run them next door?
That's what I'm thinking, too. And then that's the other thing is, you know, you got to make sure everybody knows that you've got an investment in this cockroach because, you know, you bring in some raid and you've pretty much cost yourself a lot of money.
Hey, you short circuit the cockroach.
I've got lots of cockroaches at my apartment.
Oh,
I'll volunteer
wonderful.
For service.
Sure, bring them in. Well, why don't you have your cat take care of that?
Well, they kill a few, but sometimes they're just too big and fat and up high on the wall.
Who, the
just...
cats or the cockroaches? Yesterday, the Mars Curiosity rover rolled into what appears to be an ancient riverbed left over from a flowing waterway that existed billions of years ago.
Yeah, I read about that.
Okay, now look. All right, the first clue emerged when Curiosity spotted an unusually textured rock that turned out to be a composite of tiny rocks that had been rounded and eroded by flowing water. Now, scientists, this is what they're telling us, and that's fine if they want to tell us this. I'm a wee bit skeptical. Scientists say there could have been ankle or hip deep water. Now, even in my case, the difference between ankle and hip is significant.
Yes, it is.
And if you're talking about somebody like Doug Peterson, then you're talking about a tremendous difference between ankle.
True.
He's a tall guy who used to play basketball here, Kat, in case you don't know.
Oh, anyway, okay. Good to know.
The difference between ankle and hip. But nonetheless, they're telling us that scientists say it could have been ankle or hip deep river that flowed at 2 miles per hour. Now, how do they know that?
The amount of erosion would be my guess.
Well, but they're saying possibly for thousands or millions of years. Well, there's a difference between 1,000 and 1,000,000.
And there's obviously a difference between Earth's gravitational pull and Mars's.
What the rock's made out of. The rover will be analyzing the area for evidence of organic carbon that could indicate that ancient life was there on the inhospitable.
Well, either way, what difference does it make?
Right. And again, scientists believe that. So what? If you've got on a lab coat and you sit behind a microphone and you talk with, you know, some sort of accent or whatever, we're supposed to believe you because of that? I'm a bit skeptical.
I don't really understand the point. Sorry.
It worked for Carl Sagan for years.
Billions of miles. Go ahead, yeah.
I don't really understand what the point is unless they're thinking about, like, colonizing Mars, you know?
You know what they're doing? What they're trying to do is they're trying to keep people excited about it because, once again, it's all about the funding.
Yep.
Have to make sure that we can keep curiosity rolling up there.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on WTAW... Think of those businesses who sponsor the games of your favorite team.
Businesses like First Victoria Bank, Foul Digits, and the Sleep Station. Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics. News Talk 1620, WTAW.
You know what I don't get? Batteries. Why can't everything run on double A's? My watch battery's dead. It's time to change the battery in my security alarm, and I need a new battery for my jet ski this weekend.
Just go to Interstate All Battery Center.
Interstate? I don't need a car battery.
They're more than just car batteries. It's right in the name. All Battery Center. Every battery for every need.
Every battery, huh? Well, that should save me some time.
Find the exact battery you need at Interstate All Battery Center. 1100 Finfeather Road in Bryan, 775-4293. Interstate All Battery Center. Outrageously dependable.
Hey, good morning. About 3 minutes till News Talk 1620 WTAW. So I guess we can find out what's going on in this date in history. The tomato was publicly proven safe when Colonel Robert Gibbon Johnson stood on the steps of the Salem, New Jersey courthouse and ate a large number of them without any adverse effects.
Wow.
Well, it's part of the nightshade family, and so people thought it was poison. I mean, think about that. What if we thought that tomatoes were poisonous? What would we be putting on our aforementioned pizzas today? We'd have a cucumber pizza? I mean, what would we be doing?
It's a fruit, don't you know?
Yep. 1892, the first night football game in America. First night football game, 1892, played between. I mean, you would not ever be able to name either of these schools.
No, you're something wrong. In Pennsylvania?
No, it's Mansfield State Normal College.
Normal College?
That's what they used to call them, the normal colleges. Now it's Mansfield University. And Wyoming Seminary. Now, I have no other details on it than that.
The preachers, I mean, and the normal kids.
What kind of lighting did they use? I mean, how
probably
in the world?
Probably gas would be my guess.
I guess. That'd be kind of scary. A little bit scary.
Well, they did start getting kind of electric-y stuff.
Go out of bounds.
Don't know where it played, yeah. All right, let's see. Celebrity news. Steven Spielberg, one of the most successful men in U.S. America, but is a normal guy with regular problems at the end of the day. The filmmaker revealed he was diagnosed with dyslexia 5 years ago and says making movies was his great escape.
Welcome to my world.
It hasn't hurt him.
Well, how many years did he go with not knowing he had dyslexia? I mean, when you look at the word and everybody else can read it and you can't, doesn't that kind of give you a clue? Anyway, 15% of the population is dyslexic. Among them, Cher, parts of her. Albert Einstein was dyslexic, as was Abraham Lincoln and Walt Disney. And,
Tom Cruise, yeah. Bruce Jenner, me.
Yeah. Or wow. Are you dyslexic? How could you be in radio and be dyslexic?
I like the third grade so much, I did it twice.
There. Okay. That's it. Okay.
I died in the wool.